possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And let me tell you, I love hearing that music this evening. I haven't been on At Your Service since June. And as the show unfolds tonight, I'll probably get into a little bit of that. It has nothing to do with KMOX. You've still heard me during the day. I've been on my Wednesday morning segments. I've been on with Glover and so forth. I think I filled in once for Amy when she was gone. But I was doing that from my office because of some personnel issues at my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. I just couldn't get away during the day, and it was too hard to put together a show because, believe it or not, coming in and doing a two-hour show, it takes a little bit of preparation. You don't just come in and wing it. I know it may not sound like I prepare. It may not sound like any thought or design goes into when I'm on a show here on Camo X, but it does. And so I was unable to do that. But hopefully my schedule will be improving and I will be back on At Your Service. Also, you know, I got to be honest with you too. I was hoping I wasn't going to be here until November because of playoffs, but that's not really is so-called in the cards this year. So I will be on every Wednesday night. And except for when we're doing, we got one interview coming up in the next segment. But other than that, phone lines are going to be open all evening. And, you know, when I'm on At Your Service, I like to talk about anything, an idea. And I'll be putting out some ideas, some things to discuss, some topics we're going to cover. Not all of them are legal. Not even a majority of them are legal. But all of them are important. And so we will be breaking those things down as the show unfolds. I usually like to just to mention whatever national day it is just in the first segment because I don't have a lot of time to talk about topics. We have two national days today that do need some, shall I say, deeper examination. First, today is National Taco Day. And, you know, I kind of think that this is one of those holidays that should always fall on the same day. Because, face it, I mean, isn't Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday? Shouldn't, I'm gonna bring in Matt Pajeski. When you think of tacos, don't you think it should be Taco Tuesday?
It should be Tuesday, yeah. I mean, really, it should be every day, but definitely Tuesday.
That's right. And next year, and I consider this, Matt, next year, barring any unforeseen last-minute negotiations at Congress or something, I don't know where these days get made up, but National Taco Day will be on Thursday. And when that happens, here's my question. Do we have to call it Taco Thursday?
Or Taco Thursday.
Or Taco Thursday.
Yeah.
Both of those are very difficult to say.
And incorrect.
And I know. It's just try, if you try to say Taco Thursday or Taco Thursday, both of those are very difficult. And we shouldn't be in that position. It should only be on Tuesday. But here's the other thing I'm going to lay out there. Today is also National Vodka Day. And Matt, did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, today's National Vodka Day. And I suspect that there must be some collusion between the taco industry and the vodka industry to have both of those celebrated on the same day. Now, it cannot be a coincidence that we've got National Taco Day, National Vodka Day on the same day, and consider this as a coincidence. For example, if sometime in the future, April 20, which we all know as Marijuana Day, also becomes National Doritos and Brownies Day, we would know that's not a coincidence. That was something that someone planned. And so I kind of think that this Taco Day and Vodka Day is also planned. But listen, folks, we've got chaos around here. We've got, for the first time in history, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has been forcibly removed from office. We have stripping teachers right here in the St. Louis area who are getting naked on OnlyFans and they get removed from schools. We have a state representative candidate in Virginia who performs nude with her husband. And I've got this phrase now. I think that chaos is the new cocaine. And we're just addicted to chaos. And all of this chaos makes me feel like this.
Or you could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. That's the way things are. And there's no place better to break down the mass hysteria of our world than at your service right here on Camo X. So as the show unfolds tonight, if there's chaos in your world, if there's some things you don't understand, if you think I'm completely wrong on something, listen, the phone calls I like the most are when people call up and say, Brad, you're a moron and an idiot, and those are your good points, all right? Because that's a great way to start a conversation. Never going to be shying away from that. But coming up after the break, we're going to talk about something that I've kind of thought about for a very long time, wondering if we're heading in the same direction as the Roman Empire, you know, positioned for greatness, but really disintegrating from within. So coming up after the break, we're going to talk to EJ Antoni from the Heritage Foundation, who wrote an article today for the Washington Times and the Daily Signal talking about this very same idea. Are we following in the footsteps of ancient Rome? Brad Young, back of the saddle on At Your Service. We'll be back right after this.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Welcome back to At Your Service, KMOX. The United States and the Roman Empire, I teased this before the break, both have truly impacted the world on a global scale. Both could project power across multiple continents, but only one, at least so far, has collapsed. But the question is the other far behind? So joining us this evening is E.J. Antoni, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He co-wrote a fascinating article published today in both the Washington Times and the DailySignal.com. It's entitled, Is America Nearing Fall of Rome Status? EJ, welcome back to KMOX St. Louis.
Well, thank you for having me back.
It's great to talk to you. And it's interesting because my wife and I literally, just like a week ago, had this conversation about similarities between the United States and the Roman Empire. And then you write this article, and I thought it was very, very timely. So let's dive into this. And I want to set aside the issue because the slave issue, because as I've talked to folks in the past about the Roman Empire, they always bring up the fact that its military was primarily built of slaves, the workforce was slaves. But I want to set that aside because that's a conversation that takes the whole point of our comparison to a different level. So setting that aside, what are some of the ways that both the United States and the Roman Empire impacted the world on a global level? Let's start there, and then we'll talk about some of the negative aspects of the comparison.
Well, both facilitated, for the first time in their respective periods of history, the ability for people from around the known world to be able to trade and exchange with each other. And that created a tremendous amount of economic prosperity, not just within their respective regions, so not just within Rome, for example, but across the empire, and in fact, even stretching into areas beyond the empire as well. That was all made possible by a few principles like the rule of law, the respect of property rights, and a stable currency.
Right. And because of those, if you look even at the world today, the dollar is the world currency, despite China and Russia and North Korea wanting to change that. The dollar is the world currency. Our language is the language of the globe, of the planet, of business. So there are a lot of similarities. And also, I think a similarity is the ability to project power, which, of course, then, at least in some ways, projects stability. I mean, obviously, when Rome was conquering a country, there wasn't stability there. But they had that ability to project power on a global, at least global from what they knew at the time, on a global basis. The United States is truly the only country that can do that currently.
Oh, absolutely. But again, a lot of what underlies the ability to do that is the economic status. You can't be a military superpower if you're not an economic superpower. You can go back to World War II, for example, and there's been a whole host of scholarship done on this, outlining how the economic deficiencies of the Axis powers essentially doomed them to defeat by the Allies. And, you know, that was true for Rome, and it's also true today for the United States. But just as we saw Rome decline economically and it lost its military status, we're seeing the same thing with the United States today.
Yeah, we are. And that's what I really liked about your article. We're talking to E.J. Antoni, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. You can catch him, as I do, at thedailysignal.com. But even as Rome was successful across the globe, there were deep divisions, I think, that accelerated that internal decline. You mentioned one of the things that you mentioned at the top of your article is crime and the stability or lack thereof that comes from the presence of crime. How are those things in parallel?
Well, as Rome lost its ability to maintain control of, you know, essentially the rule of law, law and order, as it failed to maintain a decent society in that regard, things like property rights went by the wayside. And so people essentially had to rely upon themselves because they couldn't rely on government for virtually anything. And again, a result of that, as property rights deteriorated, was that the economy had to start moving underground. And so you were not able to transact in the same way that you could before. And the government started missing out on tax revenue because of that as well. And then you get into this very vicious downward spiral where the government sees its tax base decline, so it raises tax rates, which drives more of the tax base underground,
sure,
and so on and so on.
But you mentioned that, and of course, what comes to my mind, EJ, when you're describing that situation in Rome, just think of just this past week, all of the videos that we've seen of these mass looting situations in our cities, whether it's in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York, or the crime statistics that we see. We're right here in St. Louis. Our crime statistics are high and going higher, and that's certainly the case in Chicago and New York. Do you see that as a parallel to what we saw in Rome when the government could not control or keep the peace, as it were, domestically?
Very much so. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were having all these instances out west in California where people were literally just breaking into trains. I mean, it was like a Wild West train robbery. It was insane.
Oh, my.
And people simply knew that, you know, these trains were sitting in a Union Pacific yard overnight. So they would go and break into all the cars and take whatever they wanted. And it got so bad, the trains actually started derailing because of all the debris that was strewn all over the tracks from people breaking into these cars and, you know, and discarding all the packaging and taking what they wanted. So you're absolutely right. You know, my hometown of Philadelphia has seen an insane amount of looting just within the last couple of weeks, and businesses are just pulling up stakes and leaving entirely because they say we can't make money here. We're suffering so many losses. And then the politicians wonder why we have these so-called food deserts where there's nowhere you can shop for food in inner cities anymore.
Right. Target just announced that they're closing multiple stores, basically in urban centers, because of the issue of crime. Now, here in St. Louis, and this, again, is not unique to St. Louis, EJ, until very recently, we had a prosecuting attorney who was whose election was funded by George Soros. And the idea of this prosecuting attorney was is that the racial problems in our country come from prosecutors prosecuting minorities for criminal behavior. We have a similar type of a prosecutor in Chicago and in multiple cities. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, we had a prosecutor that didn't think it was important to incarcerate individuals, and that person got out and ended up plowing through a parade, killing multiple people. That was just about 2 years ago. So how does that kind of lead into your thesis of the inability of the government, or in this instance, is it really the inability, or is it the intentional refusal to maintain domestic security?
Right. You really hit the nail on the head there. It's not the inability. It's the unwillingness to maintain that kind of domestic security. And as we start bringing in these immutable characteristics, things like race, things like sex, however you were born, and things that you can't actually change, right? All of those immutable characteristics, those are things that are incidental. In other words, they don't matter. It does not dictate who you're going to be or what choices you're going to make based on the color of your skin. That's absolute nonsense. And so as the left continues to divide us in those ways, it makes it impossible for the melting pot to actually be a melting pot. We stay segregated. And, you know, for all this nonsensical talk about how diversity is our strength, that has never been the case, not in American history. It wasn't the case in Roman history. And you can pick any such diverse society in world history, and you find that it was never groups' ability to stay apart that made the country whole. It was groups' ability to assimilate. Mm-hmm. And as the left continues to push this narrative of not assimilating but staying segregated, the country continues to come apart.
Yeah, the phrase that I like to use is that we're no longer a melting pot. We're really a divided dish. To stay with the metaphor, but you nailed that. We're talking to E.J. Antoni. He's a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. You can find him at the dailysignal.com. And E.J., I know a lot of your research analysis is focused on economics. Taxes is a topic that I like to talk about, not because they're bad. I don't think that taxes in and of themselves are inherently good or bad. It's how we impose them and what we do with the revenue that results from them. But you mentioned about this downward spiral, and just talk generally about the impact of taxes on a populace. Don't taxes have a direct impact on the vitality of a society?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we have seen this countless times, again, not just throughout American history, but world history, where you can have a higher tax rate that actually yields less tax revenue. And it's easiest when you take the extreme example here. If you're going to go from a tax rate of 10% to 100%, who's going to work? Nobody.
Sure.
Your tax revenue's going to go to zero. And so, you know, again, that's the extreme example, but you see it even when you move a tax rate, for example, just from like 40% to 50%. You see people working less because you're disincentivizing them to work. And, you know, we see the same thing also, not just with explicit taxation, but implicit taxation. Again, I'll use my hometown of Philly as an example. I just read a study recently where a single mother of two who has no income and is entirely on welfare has a larger disposable income than if she were to go to work and earn $40,000, because at that income, she would lose all of her welfare. And as a result of that, she would actually have an implicit income tax above 100%. Is it any wonder why she does not go out and get a job?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's really a concept that I don't think certainly the left has no understanding of this idea. But yet you look at the mid-60s during the John F. Kennedy administration, I think the highest marginal tax rate was in the mid-70s. Who on earth is going to work when 70% of their income, at least at that level, would go to fund taxes? And yet by lowering taxes, it increased revenue. Why cannot the left understand that rather simple concept?
Oh, because they choose not to. It's not even a matter that they don't understand it. It's that if they acknowledge it, then it would upset their worldview, and we can't have that happen. I mean, we understood this back in the 19-teens, for example, when we saw tax rates on the wealthy go sky high. I mean, we're talking close to 100% was the top marginal tax rate. And what happened? The number of people who filed income taxes as millionaires plummeted. In the 1920s, however, what happened? We cut those marginal tax rates. Andrew Mellon called it scientific taxation. That was the forerunner to what we now probably would call supply-side economics. And he said that if you lower tax rates, then the wealthy will stop putting their income in tax-exempt securities like municipal bonds, and they'll invest in regular corporate bonds instead, because they don't need that tax exemption to offset the high tax rate. And that's exactly what happened. All of these wealthy people started reporting more income, and the government got more tax revenue, not less. That's one of the reasons why we had a surplus every single year of the 1920s.
Amazing. And yet that knowledge, that wisdom, somehow seems to be lost in history, and we certainly need it today. We're talking to E.J. Antoni, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And E.J., in your article, you compared the Roman Empire's finances to the equivalent of a Ponzi scheme. Explain that briefly, but then tell us why you think that may also be the case or soon be the case here in the United States.
Well, the Roman government, in order to appease the populace, repeatedly made promises that it could not keep. It made promises based on things like a population that needed to grow much faster than it actually would. Incomes would have to grow much faster than they actually would, et cetera. And all that had to happen to support an ever-growing tax burden to pay for these future promises, whether that is a promise that the government is going to do something in the future, or if the government borrows money today, which it then needs to pay back in the future. Because if it has to pay money in the future, whether it's for a loan or directly, it needs to raise taxes in the future. And we look at things like Social Security, and we find exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. We have this concept that Social Security, the money is somehow in an account that's all ours. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you pay into Social Security, it doesn't go into your account. It goes into the general fund, and it's immediately used to pay retirees today. And when you retire, it will be the workers who are still working who are paying for your retirement. And if you don't have a continuously growing tax base, which we don't really have anymore because our population is not growing fast enough and incomes aren't growing fast enough, just like in the Roman Empire, then what you have is what is exposed as a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. This only works under a very limited set of circumstances.
And we're certainly, as you've laid out, we're not in those circumstances. Hey, I don't want to keep you, EJ. So my last question, I've got like 10 more questions here for you, because I love the concepts that you raised in your article at thedailysignal.com. But last question before we go to a break. You make this statement, and I literally thought this was ripped from today's headlines, to borrow a phrase from Law and Order. And you said this, quote, "As the unity of Rome deteriorated, tribalism took hold," unquote. And we see tribalism all around us today. But was that actually the case in Rome as well?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. People don't understand today anymore. It's really a shame. The Roman Empire was quite possibly the most diverse empire that ever existed. Maybe even more so than what we have today, especially when you consider the fact that America's not really an empire. But as far as empires go, it was incredibly diverse. That's why I'll give you just one very good example. Sickle cell anemia is an African disease, but the second most common population that has it is Italians, because there were so many conquered Africans who were brought back and their descendants became Roman citizens that many of those genes worked their way into the Italian population.
Amazing.
And that's just one example of, I mean, it really was just an incredibly diverse population. But again, everyone assimilated, and that was the strength of the empire. As they failed to assimilate, and as they broke away back into their respective tribes, that unity was shattered, and that meant the strength was shattered as well.
Mm. It's such an interesting idea, and I thank you for putting this together. E.J. Antoni, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, if people want to follow your thought-provoking articles, just like the one we discussed here this evening, where can they find you?
Oh, best place to find me is on X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, but it's at Real E.J. Antoni.
Very good. E.J., thank you so much for joining us this evening here on KMOX St. Louis.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Hey, I want to open up the phone lines because I've always found this to be an intriguing idea, and I suspect you might as well. Are we following in the footsteps of the Roman Empire? What do you see in our society right now that's literally tearing us apart from within? The Roman Empire seemingly had it all, and they lost because of internal really being destroyed from within. Are we following in their footsteps? 314-436-7900, KMOX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service right here on KMOX here in St. Louis. We've been talking in the previous segment, and we're going to be taking some phone calls this hour on this idea. Are we the present-day Rome, meaning the United States? Are we in decline? Are we suffering from the same maladies that brought down the Roman Empire? Or is there a difference? Is there a distinctive difference between America and Rome, which may mean that even in a period of decline, it won't lead to our fall? 314-436-7900. Brian's been holding through the break. Hey, Brian, welcome to KMOX.
Well, good evening, sir. I wanted to discuss for a moment something that the guest had touched on but didn't really address specifically. Rome did not attempt after a while to guard their border. Now, they had laws and they had walls and they had other things, but they kind of turned a blind eye to massive illegal immigration, if you will, by the German barbarians into the empire. And they got to a point where they just kind of ignored that completely. And I see us doing the same thing in the sense that we, have a border, but everybody kind of just, winks at that. And we don't even attempt to enforce that anymore. So I just kind of wondered if you, can maybe shed some light on that, or if you'd like to comment on that.
Yeah, and I actually like to have a conversation with you on that, Brian, because I think your point is spot on. Because if their border is completely porous, at what point is there any distinction between your country and the neighboring country? And of course, the idea is the only distinction that we have now is the color on a map. One country's green and the next country's yellow. But other than the map and the imaginary border, many times there's simply no distinction. And you also raise this idea that people can come across the border at will. That certainly is the case now, and it was in the Roman Empire. But from your perspective, Brian, when you have hordes of illegal immigrants who come into this country, how do you think that affects the financial status of the United States in a way that's probably very similar to how illegal immigration affected the financial status of ancient Rome?
Well, I certainly think that we can see that even now, that the states down in the Southwest are starting to struggle with the, how they're going to go ahead and continue to do this as far as providing, they're being told now they're going to have to go ahead and provide, welfare and provide schooling and provide, health care and so forth for, millions of people who they are not prepared you know, financially to do that for, and this is going to be a growing and possibly a fatal strain mm-hmm. on state, municipal, and ultimately the federal budget. And these are the things that people, I don't think, actually kind of mull over when they're kind of making an emotional sort of approach to this by saying we have to treat all of God's creatures with respect and so forth, which of course we do.
Yes.
But this is some of the, you know, the unintended consequences, and I think people generally have a tough time when they kind of come to grips with these things.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I believe it was Peter Ducey from Fox News asked the President Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, a question earlier this week about the border crisis. And I believe her response was, is that President Biden has spent more money on border security than any president in history. But when the numbers were broken down, a majority of that money is, in fact, the vast majority of that money is to provide benefits to individuals after they're here instead of providing security at the border. I don't know. Did you see that exchange?
I read about that. I didn't actually see the exchange, but you know, I would say in a lot of ways, this is kind of a classic sort of a response to say that, well, we've got, you know, a problem, but don't worry about that. We're spending money on that.
Yes.
That does not necessarily mean that you're repairing
right.
the problem.
And isn't that quintessential government speak to say, instead of solving the problem, I'm just going to look at how much money we're spending on it. And isn't that the response of government in almost everything? Results are not important. All that matters is how much are we spending on it?
Right. We have programs for this, so the problem will go away. And that's not those two things are not synonymous. That's, in fact, oftentimes a government program is just going to go ahead and cause much more trouble in the long run without actually addressing the problem.
Well, Brian, we've got about a minute before the break. So in that amount of time, do you foresee at this point that government, and I don't see this as a right or a left issue. I truly don't. I see this as just a problem that our politicians have refused to address. But do you see that we'll have any meaningful progress on the border control issue in the next 2 to 4 years?
Certainly not before the next election, and maybe not even after that. But, you know, the first kind of step in solving a problem is to admit that you have one, and many on the left refuse to admit that this is a problem. So, you know, when I think most people realize that it is, but those in positions of authority, it's a house of cards. They don't want to go ahead and pull one out and have the whole thing crash down. So, and as far as following Rome, will we fall? It will probably take a couple generations because the fall of the Roman Empire took a couple centuries, you know. So
sure.
I don't think it's going to happen within the next 10 years, but I do see us kind of, you know, taking a step down from our position as the preeminent power in the next, you know, decade or so.
Brian, I think you're exactly right. Hey, I appreciate you calling in this evening, and thanks for listening to KMOX.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break now. What are your thoughts? I've got some ideas I'm going to share with you after the break, but what do you see as an issue that is currently affecting us as a country to the extent that it may bring us down, just like it did the Roman Empire? 314-436.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Welcome back to At Your Service right here on KMOX here in St. Louis. We've been talking in the previous segment, and we're going to be taking some phone calls this hour on this idea. Are we the present-day Rome, meaning the United States? Are we in decline? Are we suffering from the same maladies that brought down the Roman Empire? Or is there a difference? Is there a distinctive difference between America and Rome, which may mean that even in a period of decline, it won't lead to our fall? 314-436-7900. Brian's been holding through the break. Hey, Brian, welcome to KMOX.
Well, good evening, sir. I wanted to discuss for a moment something that the guest had touched on but didn't really address specifically. Rome did not attempt after a while to guard their border. Now, they had laws and they had walls and they had other things, but they kind of turned a blind eye to massive illegal immigration, if you will, by the German barbarians into the empire. And they got to a point where they just kind of ignored that completely. And I see us doing the same thing in the sense that we, have a border, but everybody kind of just, winks at that. And we don't even attempt to enforce that anymore. So I just kind of wondered if you, could maybe shed some light on that or if you'd like to comment on that.
Yeah, and I'd actually like to have a conversation with you on that, Brian, because I think your point is spot on. Because if their border is completely porous, at what point is there any distinction between your country and the neighboring country? And of course, the idea is the only distinction that we have now is the color on a map. One country's green and the next country's yellow, but other than the map and the imaginary border, many times there's simply no distinction. And you also raise this idea that people can come across the border at will. That certainly is the case now, and it was in the Roman Empire. But from your perspective, Brian, when you have hordes of illegal immigrants who come into this country, how do you think that affects the financial status of the United States in a way that's probably very similar to how illegal immigration affected the financial status of ancient Rome?
Well, I certainly think that we can see that even now that the states down in the Southwest are starting to struggle with how they're going to go ahead and continue to do this as far as providing, they're being told now they're going to have to go ahead and provide, welfare and provide schooling and provide, health care and so forth for, millions of people who they are not prepared, financially to do that for. And this is going to be a growing and possibly a fatal strain on state, municipal, and ultimately the federal budget. And these are the things that people, I don't think, actually kind of mull over when they're kind of making an emotional sort of approach to this by saying we have to treat all of God's creatures with respect and so forth, which of course we do.
Yes.
But this is some of the, the unintended consequences, and I think people generally have a tough time when they kind of come to grips with these things.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I believe it was Peter Ducey from Fox News asked the President Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, a question earlier this week about the border crisis. And I believe her response was, is that President Biden has spent more money on border security than any president in history. But when the numbers were broken down, a majority of that money is, in fact, the vast majority of that money is to provide benefits to individuals after they're here instead of providing security at the border. I don't know. Did you see that exchange?
I read about that. I didn't actually see the exchange, but you know, I would say in a lot of ways, this is kind of a classic sort of a response to say that, well, we've got, you know, a problem, but don't worry about that. We're spending money on that.
Yes.
That's not necessarily mean that you're repairing
right.
the problem.
And isn't that quintessential government speak to say, instead of solving the problem, I'm just going to look at how much money we're spending on it. And isn't that the response of government in almost everything? Results are not important. All that matters is how much are we spending on it?
Right. We have programs for this, so the problem will go away. And that's not those two things are not synonymous. That's, in fact, oftentimes a government program is just going to go ahead and cause much more trouble in the long run without actually addressing the problem.
Well, Brian, we've got about a minute before the break. So in that amount of time, do you foresee at this point that government, and I don't see this as a right or a left issue. I truly don't. I see this as just a problem that our politicians have refused to address. But do you see that we'll have any meaningful progress on the border control issue in the next 2 to 4 years?
Certainly not before the next election, and maybe not even after that. But, you know, the first kind of step in solving a problem is to admit that you have one, and many on the left refuse to admit that this is a problem. So, you know, when I think most people realize that it is, but those in positions of authority, it's a house of cards. They don't want to go ahead and pull one out and have the whole thing crash down. So, and as far as following Rome, will we fall? It will probably take a couple generations because the fall of the Roman Empire took a couple centuries, you know. So
sure.
I don't think it's going to happen within the next 10 years, but I do see us kind of, you know, taking a step down from our position as the preeminent power in the next, you know, decade or so.
Brian, I think you're exactly right. Hey, I appreciate you calling in this evening, and thanks for listening to KMOX.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break now. What are your thoughts? I've got some ideas I'm going to share with you after the break, but what do you see as an issue that is currently affecting us as a country to the extent that it may bring us down, just like it did the Roman Empire? 314-436-7900. At your service, Brad Young here. I'll be right back.
So much for the glory of Rome.
Welcome back to KMOX. Love that quote. Matt Pajeski, board operator, producer extraordinaire. Thank you for doing that. Hey, I wanted to bring Matt in here because we talked about the Roman Empire, and I didn't really mean to go here with our conversation, but it did occur to me during the break. Did you hear this survey, Matt, that came out, I think it was like about a month ago, that said that 4% of men aged 18 and older think about the Roman Empire every day, and 14% of men think about it once a month. Did you hear this?
I did hear about this, and then I started seeing videos pop up of girlfriends asking their boyfriends, honey, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? The guy turns around and says, 2 to 3 times a day at least. And these girls are like blown away and astounded by that. I don't know if they actually do or if they're kind of just playing along with that, because I don't. I mean,
no, I don't either.
I like Rome. I like learning about history. And I think it's, you know, there's a lot to learn from them. But I don't think about it more than once a week, I don't think.
No, I don't either.
Bizarre.
It was so bizarre. And in that same study, literally 0% of women 18 and older thought about it every day. And only 10% of all women thought about the Roman Empire once a month. And I don't know if the point of this was some sort of a sexual angle. I don't know if it was some sort of a point to say that men feel demasculinized, and so they long for the masculinity of their own. I mean, I don't even know what the point of those, but all of a sudden, about a month ago, literally every page I would look at had this story about the Roman Empire.
I saw that too.
And I just didn't get why this is suddenly a thing.
I'm more of an ancient Greece guy myself. I tend to think more about the ancient Greeks, but no, that is very bizarre, but I think it's cool. I like that we are embracing history. I feel like that's not really a thing that a lot of young people are doing today, is embracing ancient history, so I'm all for it.
Well, that's exactly right, because we don't think about history, and that's why I like these parallel ideas where we talk about how Rome fell, because what's the quote? If we those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and the United States is an empire. I mean, it's not an empire like the Roman Empire or the British Empire, but we do have a global reach. Our society, our culture, our economics, and our influence literally goes across the globe, except for maybe some tribes in the Amazon rainforest. Everyone else is impacted in some way by the United States. And so don't you think it's important for us to look at these causes for the fall of the Roman Empire and maybe by chance learn something from it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just not even just Rome in particular, just so many things that happened throughout history where that you can learn from, really. Rome probably being the biggest example of a major nation. I mean, you can look at the Ottoman Empire, and there's all these different mm-hmm. empires coming out of Europe and Asia, and each one rises up somehow and each one eventually falls. So those are all good examples of as to, I guess, how to potentially avoid similar situations today, because history definitely can repeat itself like that.
You bet it can, and I'm glad that you feel the same way that I do on that. One of the things, there was a book that a gentleman wrote here a few years ago. His name's Cullen Murphy, and the book was Are We Rome? And he dove into these ideas that we've talked about tonight, and there's one of his ideas that I wanted to visit before we close the segment here this evening, and that's this idea. He points out, again, this is Cullen Murphy, points out that Romans and Americans both had this idea of exceptionalism, that both saw themselves as a chosen people, and that both Americans and Romans thought that literally just because of who they were exceptional. And I want to address that, because I think Cullen Murphy misunderstands the concept of American exceptionalism. We hear that term. We heard that term a lot in the 1980s, 1990s. We don't hear it as much today, because primarily, if you look at who's burning the American flags and who is the dominant influence in the media, those folks don't think that America is exceptional in any way. I do. But here's where I differ from Cullen Murphy. I don't think that Americans, I don't think that anyone who's born here, who becomes a citizen or lives here, no one is innately superior because of their zip code. So it's not that Americans are superior to anyone else in the world. The difference of American exceptionalism isn't the people. It's our system. It's the idea of freedom, the idea of a classless society, and a lot of folks would argue that we don't have a classless society, but literally America is a country where you can go from rags to riches in places that in a way that can occur nowhere else anywhere on this planet. It can happen here. Are there classes? Are there barriers? Of course. But what I'm doing is I'm comparing in a comparison way the United States with other countries, and you can transcend those classes. I came from a coal miner's son. I was the first person in my entire family to ever graduate from college, and that was possible for me to do. In other countries, that would never have been possible. My high school guidance counselor told me and everyone else in my small town in Southern Illinois, you have two occupational choices. You can go in the coal mines or you can go to the Army. Those are your two choices. And I said, I think I'll take door number three. So there is that chance to do that here. because of capitalism and because of freedom and because of democracy. And when you put those ideas together, it does create American exceptionalism. Not because we're inherently any better. Please hear me on that. But because we have the environment in which individuals can thrive in a way that's not simply possible in most other countries. It's not possible in China. If you're born into a family, if you come from the hinterland in China, you're destined to a life working in a factory. You can't do that in Russia. If you're not related to an oligarch, you're going to be working the fields and plowing grain. And yet in America, there's no limit to how far you can go. Look at President Obama. There's no limitation on what you can do. That, my friends, is the definition of American exceptionalism. And I don't want to see that American exceptionalism disappear because we're more focused on fighting among ourselves in some sort of tribalism instead of coming together as a nation. What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. We'll be back after this break. KMOX.
So much for the glory of Rome.
Welcome back to KMOX. Love that quote. Matt Pajeski, board operator, producer extraordinaire. Thank you for doing that. Hey, I wanted to bring Matt in here because we talked about the Roman Empire, and I didn't really mean to go here with our conversation, but it did occur to me during the break. Did you hear this survey, Matt, that came out, I think it was like about a month ago, that said that 4% of men aged 18 and older think about the Roman Empire every day, and 14% of men think about it once a month. Did you hear this?
I did hear about this, and then I started seeing videos pop up of girlfriends asking their boyfriends, honey, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? The guy turns around and says, 2 to 3 times a day at least. And these girls are like blown away and astounded by that. I don't know if they actually do or if they're kind of just playing along with that, because I don't.
I don't either.
I like Rome. I like learning about history. And I think it's, you know, there's a lot to learn from them. But I don't think about it more than once a week, I don't think.
No, I don't either. It was so bizarre. And in that same study, literally 0% of women 18 and older thought about it every day. And only 10% of all women thought about the Roman Empire once a month. And I don't know if the point of this was some sort of a sexual angle. I don't know if it was some sort of a point to say that men feel demasculinized, and so they long for the masculinity of their own. I mean, I don't even know what the point of those, but all of a sudden, about a month ago, literally every page I would look at had this story about the Roman Empire.
I saw that too.
And I just didn't get why this is suddenly a thing.
I'm more of an ancient Greece guy myself. I tend to think more about the ancient Greeks, but no, that is very bizarre, but I think it's cool. I like that we are embracing history. I feel like that's not really a thing that a lot of young people are doing today, is embracing ancient history, so I'm all for it.
Well, that's exactly right, because we don't think about history, and that's why I like these parallel ideas where we talk about how Rome fell, because what's the quote? If we those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and the United States is an empire. I mean, it's not an empire like the Roman Empire or the British Empire, but we do have a global reach. Our society, our culture, our economics, and our influence literally goes across the globe, except for maybe some tribes in the Amazon rainforest. Everyone else is impacted in some way by the United States. And so don't you think it's important for us to look at these causes for the fall of the Roman Empire and maybe by chance learn something from it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just not even just Rome in particular, just so many things that happened throughout history where that you can learn from, really. Rome probably being the biggest example of a major nation. I mean, you can look at the Ottoman Empire, and there's all these different empires coming out of Europe and Asia, and each one rises up somehow and each one eventually falls. So those are all good examples as to, I guess, how to potentially avoid similar situations today, because history definitely can't repeat itself like that.
You bet it can. And I'm glad that you feel the same way that I do on that. One of the things, there was a book that a gentleman wrote here a few years ago. His name's Cullen Murphy. And the book was Are We Rome? And he dove into these ideas that we've talked about tonight. And there's one of his ideas that I wanted to visit before we close the segment here this evening. And that's this idea. He points out, again, this is Cullen Murphy, points out that Romans and Americans both had this idea of exceptionalism, that both saw themselves as a chosen people, and that both Americans and Romans thought that literally just because of who they were exceptional. And I want to address that because I think Cullen Murphy misunderstands the concept of American exceptionalism. We hear that term. We heard that term a lot in the 1980s, 1990s. We don't hear it as much today because primarily, if you look at who's burning the American flags and who is the dominant influence in the media, those folks don't think that America is exceptional in any way. I do. But here's where I differ from Cullen Murphy. I don't think that Americans, I don't think that anyone who's born here, who becomes a citizen or lives here, no one is innately superior because of their zip code. So it's not that Americans are superior to anyone else in the world. The difference of American exceptionalism isn't the people. It's our system. It's the idea of freedom, the idea of a classless society, and a lot of folks would argue that we don't have a classless society, but literally America is a country where you can go from rags to riches in places that in a way that can occur nowhere else anywhere on this planet. It can happen here. Are there classes? Are there barriers? Of course. But what I'm doing is I'm comparing in a comparison way the United States with other countries. And you can transcend those classes. I came from a coal miner's son. I was the first person in my entire family to ever graduate from college. And that was possible for me to do. In other countries, that would never have been possible. My high school guidance counselor told me and everyone else in my small town in Southern Illinois, you have two occupational choices. You can go in the coal mines or you can go to the Army. Those are your two choices. And I said, I think I'll take door number three. So there is that chance to do that here because of capitalism and because of freedom and because of democracy. And when you put those ideas together, it does create American exceptionalism. Not because we're inherently any better. Please hear me on that. But because we have the environment in which individuals can thrive in a way that's not simply possible in most other countries. It's not possible in China. If you're born into a family, if you come from the hinterland in China, you're destined to a life working in a factory. You can't do that in Russia. If you're not related to an oligarch, you're going to be working the fields and plowing grain. And yet in America, there's no limit to how far you can go. Look at President Obama. There's no limitation on what you can do. That, my friends, is the definition of American exceptionalism. And I don't want to see that American exceptionalism disappear because we're more focused on fighting among ourselves in some sort of tribalism instead of coming together as a nation. What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. We'll be back after this break. KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.